Ted shrugged. The gesture was such a perfect imitation of Dinky's that it was funny. "The best you can," he said. "There are also weapons in the lower cave. A dozen of the electric fireballs they call sneeches. A number of machine guns, what I've heard some of the low men call speed shooters. The U.S. Army AR-15s. Other things we're not sure of." "One of them's some kind of sci-fi ray gun like in a movie," Dinky said. "I think it's supposed to disintegrate things, but either I'm too dumb to turn it on, or the battery's dead." He turned anxiously to the white-haired man. 5 minutes are up and more. We have to put an egg in our shoe and beat it, Tedster. Let's chug."
"Yes, well, we'll be back tomorrow. Perhaps by then you'll have a plan."
"You don't?" Eddie asked, surprised.
"My plan was to run, young man. It seemed like a terribly bright idea at the time. I ran all the way to the spring of 1960. They caught me and brought me back, with a little help from my young friend Bobby's mother. And now we really must—"
"One more minute, do it please you," Roland said, and stepped toward Stanley. Stanley looked down at his feet, but his beard-scruffy cheeks once more flooded with color, and— "He's shivering," Susanna thought, "like an animal in the woods, faced with its first human being." Stanley looked perhaps 35, but he could have been older. His face had the carefree smoothness Susanna associated with certain mental defects. Ted and Dinky both had pimples, but Stanley had none. Roland put his hands on the fellow's forearms and looked earnestly at him. At first, the gunslinger's eyes met nothing but the masses of dark, curly hair on Stanley's bowed head. Dinky started to speak. Ted silenced him with a gesture.
"Will ye not look me in the face?" Roland asked.
He spoke with a gentleness Susanna had rarely heard in his voice.
"Will ye not, before you go, Stanley? Son of Stanley. She me that was."